bit of a step back and just have a look at like some of the themes that we can draw out of the meals with Jesus. But I want to start by telling you a story about this building. So I don't know if you know, but this building used to be a bakery. Did you know that? It was a bakery. So you all know that already. It's good. So it was a bakery, and so in the 1980s, the church that it was a new church. It was a new plan. It'd only been going for a few years. The church. So it was a small group of people. They had faith to buy this building. And at the time, this building was quite derelict. By the time they bought it, it was quite a derelict building, and lots of work needed doing to it. But they had the faith to do that as a small group of people, and they purchased this building. Some of them would have given like some large financial offering to purchase it. Some people offered their services. They were like skilled laborers that would come and help with the renovation. People would come and decorate. I've even heard stories of people coming in, the church community coming in, to chase out the pigeons that had decided to take residence here. So, in this room, the pigeons used to live in here before us, by the way. That kind of makes me giggle. I imagine like church members could go in trying to go shoo shoo shoo, get these pigeons out. It's quite funny. So it's pretty amazing. Like when we look at this building today, how much it has transformed. It went from being a bakery in its day. A lot of people worked here. Richard and I have been on holiday, different parts of the country or the world, and we've actually met people that worked here back in the day. So yeah, it was a kind of a big employment place for Manchester as well. And one of my neighbours down the street, when I go and visit her from time to time, she tells me about how she used to work in a shop at the front on Oxford Road. And she says that some of the guys here that worked here at the bakery used to go around and take her all these like bakery goods and stuff. And she'd take it home and share it with her family. Or if there was too much, she'd share it with her neighbours. And I love hearing stories like that. And when I think about those stories, about what this building was, this place of bakery, then how it became this derelict building where pigeons then started taking residence in this place, I think about what it looks like today and the transformation that has happened. I came into this church probably about 10 years after they had this building, and it looked pretty good at the time. And in the last 30 years of me being part of this church and coming to this building, more transformation has taken place. And so now we see this beautiful building as it is, and we're constantly looking at ways of making it better. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that in the hands of a loving Father, how God does that with us. That sometimes we can feel like we're derelict, we feel like we've had our day, we can feel like I don't know what the future is, or maybe before we met Jesus we feel a little bit lost. And when we are in the hands of the Father, he takes hold of us and he transforms us and he changes us. We become something different, something new. Some of the words that, one of the words I heard recently about this building, and I think I've heard it over the years, was that there was a prophetic word that this church would be like a bread basket filled with bread, that the bread would go out into the world, would be sent out into different places, that as people are formed and their passions are fanned into flame and the things of God are stirred within them, that they will be sent out into the world. And we've seen that as a church. We've seen how people have come. And this is a fulfillment of the testimony of us being this breadbasket. One of the stories that I heard, I don't know if it's true, but like about this building, that lorries, trucks used to come and drive in at the, on the ground floor, and that's where they would fill the bread up, and then the lorries would go out and then and deliver the bread to customers or to other sellers and that kind of thing. So it's kind of like a picture of something being transformed here, something being changed here. And it started with this building, it started with the people of God taking hold of this building and changing something. And even before that, God taking over a people who then took over this building and then saw transformation. And God is still doing that. You know, when Jesus saw the fishermen, Simon and Andrew, they were both casting their nets in the lake. And Jesus went up to them and said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You will be fishers of men. So they were fishermen and they became fishers of men. There's something about following Jesus, about being disciples of Jesus, that brings transformation in our hearts and in our lives. Something changes, something dramatically changed in Simon and Andrew as they laid down their nets, as they decided, I'm going to lay down all the things that brings me security, as I lay down all those things that give me all the things I need for my future and all that prosperity or whatever it is, I'm laying that down and I'm following Jesus. And Jesus started a work in his disciples where they became like him. They were meeting people like Jesus. They touched people's lives like Jesus. They brought healing to people like Jesus. A real transformation happens when we decide to follow Jesus. In the scriptures, there are many passages about the transformative love of God. And I want to just take us through some of those passages. But before I do, I want you to ask yourself this question. Who are you becoming like? You know, I don't know if you've heard, it's a bit of a, like a quote of some kind where people say, you become like the one that you are following. Have you heard that? You become like the one you are following. Or you become like the thing that you are following. And so, and that can be quite a good way of us to look at ourselves and think, well, what am I becoming like? Who am I becoming like? Am I becoming like Jesus because I'm following Jesus? Am I not becoming like Jesus? Then maybe I need to question, well, how am I following Jesus? What's going on in my heart and my life? So we become like the one we follow. So I want to take a look at some of the scriptures where it talks about the transformative love of God. So in Romans 12, verse 2, it says this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are transformed by the renewal of our minds when we are in relationship with God. When we experience his love, something changes within us. Our minds are renewed. We don't no longer get swept along by lies of being told that we need to be better, we need to do more, we need to have more, because our minds are being renewed by knowing Jesus, by being with him, by his love. We don't get swept along by these things. We have a different way of thinking. God, by his love and grace, gives us wisdom and insight, and we experience the pleasure of God. So another verse I want to bring to you is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory as being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So as we dwell in the presence of God, whether that is in worship, whether that is by being still and contemplating on his faithfulness and love towards us, his Spirit is at work in us, transforming us into his image. We become more like Jesus when we accept and receive God's love and enjoy his presence. And he changes us. He transforms us. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The profound impact of Christ's love changes our lives. This kind of transformation can be a difficult one because when it happens, we become noticeable to the world. It's where we choose to make, the choices that we decide to make are in line with what the things that God wants us to do rather than the things that we want to do, rather than being driven by our own desires and passions and wants and needs. We are driven by the things of God, and this looks different to the world. We look different. Where we would once look to ourselves for answers and provision, we have a faith in God that means we don't know it all, or we don't have to know it all, but instead we follow the leading of the Spirit. And this can impact things like where we choose to live, or what kind of job do we have. To the world, that seems foolishness, or the cost is too great. You know those fishermen who decided to follow Jesus and became fishers of men? They looked foolish to those around them. Why would you just lay down your nets to follow Jesus? But in Christ, we know that we have gained so much. And what we have in this life is not going to last. But what we have in Christ Jesus, in following him and doing the things that he has called us to do, will last for all of eternity. I want to take us to the next verse, Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He dwells in our hearts through faith in Jesus. And he fills us to the measure of all the fullness of God. Can you imagine that? Dwelling in our hearts and filling us the full measure of God? That goes beyond our understanding. We will know transformative power as we experience the depths of God's love. As we are rooted and established in that love, something amazing happens. God dwells in you. Transformation takes place in our thoughts, in our character, and in our actions. So we need to be asking ourselves, is that happening? Is that going on? Who do we look like? Do we look like Jesus? Are we becoming like Jesus? I don't think we need to be perfect, but we need to be those that can see that something is happening in our hearts and in our lives because of what Jesus is doing. So some of the themes that I wanted to mention to you today are some of the themes that I feel are kind of overarching all the teaching that we're doing with Meals with Jesus at the moment. And I want to encourage you that as you continue to sit and listen to these messages, and maybe you talk about them in your connect groups, to maybe think about some of these themes, or maybe look to see where these themes are in those stories. And these themes are worship, hospitality, generosity, and service. So look out for these themes. Now, Jesus is showing something of himself as someone who worships, who shows hospitality, who is generous, and who serves. If it is true that his love and presence is transforming us, and we see some of these things and these attributes in Jesus, then surely we should start seeing some of these in our own hearts and lives. Or maybe even further than that, in us as a community, as a body of believers. How are we showing up as those who worship, showing hospitality, generous, serving? So I want to look at Jesus' example of worship. So in Matthew 14, 23, it says this. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. So Jesus would withdraw to pray just to be with his Father in heaven. He was intimate with his Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven absolutely loved Jesus. And it wasn't because of anything that he had done. It was because he just loved Jesus. Jesus was intimate with the Father. Jesus knew the Father. He would take time away to be with the Father. This is an example to us. You know, it's easy to please your Heavenly Father. It's really easy to please him. And it's not because of anything that we do that pleases him. And yet, when we do spend time with him and we are transformed by him, we want to do things and we end up doing things that please the Father. But that's not why we please the Father. We please him by how we are intimate with him, by how we love him, how we spend time with him, how we pray, how we worship, how we read the scriptures, how we just stand and say to God, God, I just love you. I want to just be with you right now and just to know you more deeply. This is how we please our Father. So Jesus showed us how we are to worship. Hospitality. Let's look at Jesus' example of hospitality. Last week, we heard Coffo's brilliant preach on loaves and fishes. And honestly, if you missed that, you ought to go and watch it. It was really good, really encouraging. So the crowds wanted to listen to Jesus, and they'd been there for a while, and the disciples wanted to send them away because it was getting late, and they were in a remote place, and they needed some food, so the disciples said, let's send them away. But Jesus wasn't going to turn these people away. Jesus decided, I want us to feed them. I don't want to turn these people away. He had compassion on them, and he wanted to give them food. He wanted to take care of their needs. He didn't want to send them away without having given them food. Jesus met the needs of the multitudes, even in challenging circumstances. Now, humanly speaking, he really did not have enough food for the multitudes. There was barely enough food to feed 50 people, let alone thousands of people. This is an amazing example of Jesus being hospitable. Now, as I'm saying this, it takes me back to that verse in Ephesians where it says that the fullness, the measure of the fullness of God is in us. And when we think about how we can be hospitable in the way that Jesus is hospitable and some of the things that we might say that stops us from being hospitable the way Jesus is hospitable, you know, you have the full measure of Jesus living in you, the one who fed the multitudes. So let's look at generosity, Jesus' example of generosity. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Wow, this is the ultimate act of generosity. Jesus gave up his divine privileges and took on human form. He became poor and sacrificed himself for every single person here. What an example this is for us. Jesus's generosity. Jesus did not hold back. He gave everything so that we could have everything. He became poor so that we could be rich. How is generosity showing up in your life? Service. So let's take a look at service. Jesus' example of service. In Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus explicitly states here that he came to serve rather than to be served. Everything that Jesus did was from a place of serving. The Jews were expecting a savior to come that would be this mighty warrior and ruler, and that everybody would serve him and do his bidding. And yet Jesus came riding on a donkey and served people, loved people, healed people, fed people, was generous to people. Jesus shows up selflessly and serves others. How is serving showing up in your life? Jesus is our true example of worship, hospitality, generosity, and service. We can be those that pursue a lifestyle of worship, hospitality, generosity, and service. I hope you notice I keep saying it because I'm hoping it'll sink in. As we are being transformed each day, we will become more like Jesus. Our whole lives will look increasingly more like Jesus. So let's be those that are asking ourselves, can we see that we are pursuing a lifestyle of worship, of hospitality, of generosity, of service? Can we see that in our lives? Can we see that in our personal lives? Can we see that in the way we show up as a church? Can we see that in our church? Can we see that we as a church, as individuals, are doing that in the world? Let's challenge ourselves. Let's encourage and provoke one another. Let's say to one another, how are you getting on with this? How can I support you with this? How can I pray with you about this? Let's support one another. Let's think of creative ideas of how we can do this together as a church to show Jesus to the world. Now, I would love for us as a church to do things together where we're showing up in this world, showing the world who Jesus is. A lifestyle of worship happens as we pursue connection to the heart of God, and he lives in us and loves us. In his love, there's this continual acceptance. You know, some of the prophetic words that came this morning about being holy, about how he made us holy and pure. That's because of his love for us. That's so that we can stand before him. He made us holy. He's chosen us to be holy. He adopts us to be his sons and daughters. When we live in hospitality in God, we get to sit at his table. And we are nourished. We are healed. And we can get to do that for other people as well. We can get to nourish others, pray for them, help them, support them. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be hospitable and to include other people in our hearts and in our lives. Not only will it bring joy to others in our connecting with them, but we find joy and friendship too. When we live a lifestyle of generosity, it shows our love for him and our trust and dependency on God. When we're willing to let go of things and give things away. You know, one of the things that attracted me to my husband was his generosity. I'll say that quickly. I paused too long, didn't I? Was his generosity. You know, that really spoke to my heart. When I see generous people, it really, really speaks to my heart. When we live a lifestyle of generosity, the world around us, the marginalized, the poor, the broken, discover that there is hope. When we live a lifestyle of serving and serving God, we bless God and we bless people and people encouraged. In the church, we can show up and serve in the church in things like kids' ministry. And we find that kids are growing in God and their relationship with one another, and they're discovering more about who they are in God. And that's because people are willing to serve in kids and youth ministry. We get to have this great place to worship and have refreshments because people are willing to serve the people of God so that they can come together and worship God and be encouraged and built up in the things of God. We can serve in the world and by offering ourselves in ways where we don't charge, we don't ask for anything back, but we just want to serve and we want to bless people. When we serve our neighbors and our colleagues, they experience our kindness and willingness to put them first. You know, that is so countercultural. Do you know that that will really show you as someone who is different? There is something different about you because you're willing to lay your life down to serve people. You know, so often the world tells us that we are less of a person if we're the one that's serving. That we are the one that's minimized. That we are the one that's like the footstool if we are serving. It's countercultural to serve. It blesses. It encourages. You know, some of the things that really, I've encountered in my life in this world is when someone shows me kindness. When a stranger shows me kindness, it actually brings tears to my eyes. And I can actually probably, I can remember two times when a stranger showed me kindness, and I remember both those times made me cry. You know, you never forget when someone's being kind to you. It sticks there. It really does. There's something about living a lifestyle of generosity. No one is excluded from being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. No one in this room is excluded. Wherever you are, however long you've been a Christian, whether you are a Christian, whether you've said to Jesus, "Jesus, I want you to come and dwell in my heart. I want you to be the Lord of my life." If you've not said that today, you can say that today. And you will not be excluded to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And there is a cost, but then it isn't really a cost. Because what we gain is an eternity with Jesus. We gain so much more than what we let go. Maybe for some of us this morning, we need to open our hearts to Jesus' love again, afresh. Do we have time for a song, Kalani? Yeah? If we have the band, get ready. You know, maybe we need to open our hearts to Jesus' love afresh and ask him, what is he saying to us about how we show up? Are we showing up in the way that we worship? Are we showing up in the way that we are hospitable, the way that we are generous, the way we serve? Is this something of Christ coming from who we are in as we live a lifestyle like that? Is this things in our lives that are stopping us, that are holding us back, that we need to let go of, like the disciples who went to follow Jesus and they laid their nets down? Are you holding on to things that you need to let go of, that's stopping you from living a lifestyle, pursuing going after Jesus and being transformed by him. Let's allow the love of God to bring transformation to us. Let's enjoy him and accept all that he has done for us, the way he laid his life down for us, the way that he is generous and hospitable to us. He is our example. Amen.